The 2008 Summer Olympic Games begin 2 weeks from today in Beijing. Even before the opening ceremonies, the Games have brought China loads of extra attention, sometimes of the negative variety. Think back to the protests that followed the Olympic torch around the globe. But many Chinese still hope the Games will give the rest of the world a chance to understand China better. That includes understanding that China's approach to sports and physical activity is different from that of many Western countries. Here's more from the world's Mary Kay Magstad in Beijing.
Any morning in almost any park in Beijing, you'll see scenes like this. A group practicing the fluid, graceful movements of Tai Chi, another doing sword play, and yet another ballroom dancing. All these activities prize agility and skill, not brute strength or exertion.
In the Chinese medical tradition, really vigorous exercise was not good for you.
Susan Brownell is a sports anthropology professor at the University of Missouri. She's also a former competitive runner who won a heptathlon medal in China's National College Games when she was a Beijing University student in the 1980s.
You can even track attitudes towards sweating, because even in ancient Greece, it was believed that you could purify your body by sweating. But in ancient China, it was thought to deplete your vital fluids, and so sweating was not really good for you. And also, of course, they are not that keen on physical contact, which, if you think about it, sports like American football are really not that healthy, actually, because of the injuries that you get doing the sport. So that kind of physical contact sport is generally regarded here with a kind of surprise that other people could even want to do it or find it attractive to watch.
And then there are differing attitudes toward the body itself. The ancient Greeks worshipped the muscular human physique and even sometimes had athletes compete naked, while the ancient Chinese stayed quite well clothed. Yale University historian Jonathan Spence says paintings from that time even showed some Chinese male athletes being round-shouldered and a little tubby. There was a fundamental philosophical difference as well. Spence said at the recent BBC Wreath Lectures that while ancient China had its own forms of kickball, polo, and golf, not to mention archery on skates, it approached them differently than their ancient Western counterparts did.
Though these may look like competitions, contention is not the point. That's not the center of what we're trying to do here. And instead of contention, it is the ritual and the rhythm in sport, in athletics, in the actions of the body.
That started to change when Western missionaries brought games like soccer to China in the 19th century. Here, some kids are practicing in a Chinese park. The missionaries also set up YMCAs in China and used them to teach morality through sports, teamwork, fair play, discipline, and sportsmanship. That's what the coach of these kids is trying to do now. Gao Hong is asking the kids what's important in sports. Teamwork, one says. Others shout out cooperation, solidarity, trust, hope. Good, good, she says. And then she asks about the Olympics. Are the athletes competing for themselves, or are they representing you? Some of the kids aren't so sure. So Gao Hong launches into a passionate lecture.
They're participating in the name of China, so they represent you, and you, and you, and the cleaners outside, and the taxi drivers, and the farmers. They represent all of us.
Gao Hong herself has felt the weight of that responsibility. She was the goalkeeper in the 1999 Women's Soccer World Cup final, the one where Mia Hamm got a penalty kick past Gao Hong in overtime, winning the title for the American team. Gao says she teaches good sportsmanship now, but losing graciously didn't come naturally back then.
It's hard to say good game, as it doesn't really fit Chinese culture. I know in America, after a game ends, even if you're in a bad mood, you say good game, whether out of courtesy or social conditioning. But in China, we just don't want to say anything. It's culture.
There's been a lot of pressure on Chinese athletes to win ever since China started to compete in Western sports in the international arena. At first, Chinese didn't do so well, because Western sports are geared more to Western bodies and the Western philosophy of sports, the Olympic ideal of higher, faster, stronger. But as China has grown more prosperous and new generations have grown up bigger, taller, better fed, and better trained, winning has come to symbolize something more for China. Sports anthropologist Susan Brownell recalls what Chinese hurdler Liu Shang said in Athens when he won a gold medal.
I've proven that yellow-skinned people can compete with the world. Chinese people do have a general idea that racially they are not as tough in these sports as maybe Caucasians or black people are. So when a Chinese or an Asian can compete in those sports, it really means something, because it's sort of all about a kind of masculine nationalism or racism. I mean, it's the men for whom it really matters. That really proves that you're a man among nations, I guess.
China has been looking forward to the Beijing Olympics for many reasons: to burnish its international image, to encourage the world to better understand and appreciate China. But it's also been pushing hard to win the most gold medals, to show that China is now strong, reinvigorated, and perhaps, finally, able to beat the West at its own games. For The World, I'm Mary Kay Magstead in Beijing.